You know, it's interesting because there's this study that was done in 2016 that talks about this idea that we spend most of our time, the brain spends most of our time exploiting what we already know instead of exploring. That exploration is that place into the unknown. That is where creativity and innovation begin.
Hey, Jen.
What's up, Meg? I'm just over here sleeping.
We're in a trance right now.
Resting.
We're not awake, but we're not asleep.
And it's somewhere in between. We're in the void.
We're in the void. Oh, man. All right. So this episode with Tracy Stanley is going to rock your world.
Well, it's super deep. I mean, let's just be clear. Yes. It's like, be prepared to go deep, because Tracy takes you to a different level fast, and her energy is insanely calming.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're feeling like you're heightened or you need to be grounded, just keep this episode on replay.
Totally. And it's so funny because after we hit stop, I just said, I think we were all in a trance.
We were all in yoga nidra.
So I love this episode because, you know, Jen and I talk a lot about how sometimes we shapeshift based on our energy, based on who we are around. And Tracy gave us the invitation to just be and be calm, and without having to make fun of ourselves all the time, which we normally do in a podcast. So you'll get to hear a little bit of a different spin to Meg and Jen in Soul Ascend.
Yeah, well, I didn't even think she had an invitation for us. I just think that all of a sudden she came in and her presence is so calming, Megan, that we were literally just dumbstruck. I mean, we just couldn't speak. We didn't have any words. We were just taking all of that energy in.
Uh-huh.
And I think it just really fueled me and made me feel nourished and supported. And I have a feeling that all of you are going to feel that same way after you listen.
Absolutely. So, Jen, what were some nuggets of gold that you got from today's episode?
Yeah. You know, one of the things that she really spoke to, and I guess this is a good time to talk about it, but she was speaking to how it's actually possible to break through the dimensions of our conscious mind without an external forced, I don't know, something like ayahuasca or plant medicine or something else to layer on, and how she gave people permission to go deep enough to find those different layers and parts of our consciousness and unconsciousness without that external, which I thought was really powerful.
Absolutely. For me, it was permission that we already have the tools.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need to, you know, you and I always talk about traveling to different places and all these different external tools, which are great. But she also reminded us that we have the tools within to be able to access this dimension or the void, mm-hmm. which, if you're not familiar with the void, Tracy dives deep into it. And I loved her definition of it, but how we can use and access the void as an invitation to remember who we've always been and reawaken parts of ourselves that is our birthright. And the way that she describes it was like a poem.
It was. And the other thing that I think is something that the audience needs to understand going into this is she talks a lot in her book and in the podcast about the householders.
Yeah.
And how people think, well, this isn't for me. I don't have time for this.
Right.
And Megan, you've been said in the podcast, you know, barriers of entry are always money or time.
Yep.
And Tracy really breaks down that you don't need either.
Totally.
In order to really tap into this level of consciousness.
Right. It is your birthright to make your life a ritual.
Which we talk about as well.
Yeah.
So dive in. I hope you enjoy.
Welcome to the Soul Ascend podcast with your hosts, Meg and Jen.
We're going to help you mega manifest and generate your soul's highest ascension in business, relationships, spirituality, money, and health. Welcome, and let's dive in.
Hello, Megan.
Hey, Jen.
What's going on?
I'm so excited for today.
Are you happy to be in the Soul Shed?
So happy to be in the Soul Shed.
Well, I'm really happy to be in the Soul Shed because we're here with an amazing human. Her name is Tracy Stanley. And Tracy is the creatrix of the Empowered Life Circle. She's also the best-selling author of one of my new favorite books, Radiant Rest. And we're just so excited to have you with us today. Tracy, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. Happy to be here.
Yeah. So Megan, just met you today. And we've had the opportunity of knowing each other, and you've definitely been an inspiration and a mentor of mine. And I would love to just have you possibly just start the interview today by diving into a little bit about, you know, why this is so important to you, what your life purpose is. But I have something I'd like to do, Meg.
What are you going to do?
I want to read something. Is that okay?
Please.
Okay. So Tracy, before we dive into your story, this part of your book, it's on page 15 of your book, Radiant Rest. And this little poem that you wrote has been very powerful for me, and I have read it frequently. So would you mind, I think you have your book there, and I was wondering if you might be able to read that
yes.
audience to start our podcast.
Absolutely. The goddess. She is the great mother, the one who holds, nurtures, and supports unconditionally. Her body is the fertile soil of the earth, her spine a flowing river, her heart filled with a sea of liquid diamonds, her eyes deep pools into an endless void. Her breath is rose-colored light filling you with love. Her face radiant like the full moon. She is waiting for you to surrender into her arms so you might sleep while awake, like the divine child whose birthright is deep rest, peace, and truth.
I feel like I need to wake up to what just happened every morning. That was so beautiful, Tracy. And I have goosebumps right now.
Mm-hmm. I do every time I read it. Thank you for that.
Thank you for asking me and inviting me to share that.
Yeah. So Tracy, I'm curious, what inspired you to create that poem?
I was on my way to a Panchakarma in Northern California, to a place called Blue Sage Ayurveda, which is in the mountains of Grass Valley. And I was driving, and you know how it is when you finally leave the city and you're now really deep in nature and you're deeply in the forest. And this was a place that I had been there once before, but I was taking a different route, and I had been there like 8 years prior. And as I came around this turn, I felt this energy that was really palpable. And as I came around the turn, I saw what I then learned later was the Yorba River. And the words just came, her spine is a flowing river, because I was just marveling at nature. I was just marveling at all the abundance and all the life and all the beauty. And when I arrived for my Panchakarma, one of the things that they first do is tell you, okay, there's no electronics. And so I had my journals, and I just started writing this poem. As I was taking my nature walks, another line would drop in. As I was in my yoga nidra, I would wake up and another line would drop in. And so I don't know if it was really an inspiration as much as it was a download, and an opportunity for me to deeply listen and to pause, because I was actually doing something where it was going to be a long pause for 7 days. So I just was able to receive it.
Beautiful. And I think this is such a beautiful segue into your book, which is what I really want to talk about. I had the opportunity to dive in, and I feel like it's so timely. We're recording this as we're embarking into the winter, but this will be presented in the new year. And I feel, Tracy, that right now, the winter, the seasons, right now, people are exhausted. And when we speak to a lot of the ladies in our community, they're really just wanting to rest. And I think so often we don't give ourselves permission to do that. We feel guilty to take downtime, to connect in nature, to give ourselves space to not do and instead just be. So would you mind diving us into your book a little bit and help us define what is radiant rest and how do we give ourselves permission to rest?
We could spend a whole 5 days talking about that, which is one of the reasons why I wrote the book when I was invited to share about the topic of yoga nidra. You know, yoga nidra is a practice that is a spiritual practice that has many benefits, from helping you to, you know, sort of be in this place where you can witness what's happening as you fall asleep. You can begin to learn what happens when you start to move into these other states of consciousness. Mm-hmm. And it's defined as yogic sleep, but it's sleep with awareness. So on the spiritual side, it's really this place where we can kind of fall asleep to our ego and we can wake up to our true nature.
Wow.
And so people love that because we're in this place, I think, where a lot of us are wanting to wake up to what's real, to our purpose, to who we really are. And yoga nidra is one of those practices that opens a portal for you to begin to see and feel who you are.
Tracy, I want to back up. I have a question. You said this is a time where people want to, you know, wake up to who they actually are, who they forgot to remember that they are. Why do you think that is? Why now? Why in this exact juncture? Is this the time that people are becoming more aware and awake?
That's a great question. I really think that the beginning of the pandemic, and I'm referring to the pandemic of COVID, and also acknowledging that there are numerous other pandemics that have been ongoing for eons, including racism, climate reality, all the things that we're not acknowledging and haven't been acknowledging. But when the pandemic came around and we all found ourselves in lockdown for the first time in most of our lifetimes, it gave us an opportunity to notice what happens when we're asked to be still and when we're asked to change our behaviors and to really just pause. And so I think that some of us took that pause as a, okay, I'm going to pause and I'm going to enjoy this pause. And then in that pause, I'm realizing, wow, I'm so exhausted. Like I actually can't get enough rest. Mm-hmm. Or in the pause, I feel like I have to fill that pause and continue to do. And then as I continue to do and I continue to create projects and I continue to, because of course now the lockdown is just like extending and extending. It's like, oh, I'm actually making myself more tired. And maybe I start to question, why am I doing that? What am I getting out of doing? So I think that the pandemic really offered us a lot of opportunity to look within and a lot of wake-up calls in many different ways. Many ways that were painful, that continue to be painful, and ways that just led us into deeper inquiry. And so I think part of that really began to be, am I fulfilling my life's purpose? You know, if my life were to end tomorrow, have I lived to my fullest? Have I even tried to fulfill my potential? What is my potential? So all of these questions, I think, started to come up. And you know, I've been seeing a lot of articles in the newspaper about the Great Resignation. Like all these questions about, oh, all these people have left their jobs and what are they doing? Right. And the people that I know who left their jobs or are transitioning from their jobs are starting to claim their dreams.
Yeah.
You know, they got in tune with what it was that they really wanted to do.
You know, Meg, it just reminds me of that. I know you're probably, I can see your mind going the same way that mine is, but Tracy, I love what you're saying, because Megan and I have been speaking to our communities about this concept of this being the time of the great remembering, mm-hmm. not the resignation, and the remembering of who we are, what our truth is, what's in the bones of us, our ancient wisdom, and remembering that and pulling it through. And I think that the reason I believe your book spoke to me so deeply, Tracy, is because I feel the only time I feel that remembering, that wisdom, is when I am in rest. Mm-hmm. And I was wondering if you could possibly speak a little bit to, because a lot of our audience might not understand Yoga Nidra and mm-hmm. what that term means, and how that can actually connect you to that wisdom and that knowing.
Mm. Yeah. So as I said before, Yoga Nidra is defined as a yoga of sleep, but it's also, as all yogic practices are, they are a practice of self-remembrance. They are practices that allow us to peel back the layers, to allow what has been concealed from us in the waking state to be revealed. So there's four states of consciousness that are talked about in the Mandukya Upanishad. And that is one of the shortest Upanishads that describes the symbol of Om and the sound of Om. And those states are waking, dreaming, deep sleep, and another state called the fourth, which is this kind of void-like state that is said to be a state of absolute peace and bliss that is beyond description. And so if we think about those four states of consciousness, most of us are very attached to our life in the waking state, right? We can tell each other what we did last week, and we can talk about what we had last night for dinner, how we felt 2 weeks ago. But when we start to inquire into the dream state, some of us will be able to talk about maybe the dreams that we had last night. And some of us will say, oh, I don't dream. Mm-hmm. Right? And then if we ask, oh, what about the sleep state? For most of us, that's a complete blackout. It's a complete place of, I don't know when I fell asleep or what happened when I was sleeping. And then this idea of the void is something that is really kind of untouchable until you taste a little bit of that space. And so Yoga Nidra is this practice that you do lying down. In a comfortable, supported position that very much looks like sleep from the outside. If someone is walking into a room and they see you practicing Yoga Nidra, they may think that you are sleeping. And in fact, your body might even be asleep. You might actually be snoring, because in Yoga Nidra, we intentionally give our body permission to fall asleep, and we give our mind permission to fall asleep. And it is our consciousness that remains awake and aware, that travels along this journey that is generally guided by someone on like kind of an audio recording, until you get kind of used to the practice enough, you can start to kind of self-guide yourself. And it's a journey into the deepest levels of your being, beyond name and form, and really towards that place within you that is eternal, that place that is said to just be beyond all sorrow, right? Beyond all conditioning, beyond all experience. It's pristine. And it was there you before you had a name, and it will be there when you no longer have a body. Mm. And that's something that we all share. And that place is a place of inner knowing and inner teacher. So the more we rest in this practice of Yoga Nidra intentionally, the more we get to taste more of who we actually are in all these other states of consciousness. And then when we come back to the waking state, we bring some of that joy and that bliss and that knowing back with us, because we come back with another type of wakefulness.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I love that. And so you mentioned one word that speaks to me so profoundly. It's the void. And I think the void when we haven't actually had the opportunity to dive into the word and what that means, it can seem kind of scary because
it is scary. Yeah.
Because there's unknown, there's maybe nothingness. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But on the other side of that, and this is something that I like to speak to, especially, you know, having young children, and, you know, they're always saying, well, I'm so bored. I need things to do. And I'm like, good. This is so great because now you get to get creative, right? Mm-hmm. You don't need to mm-hmm. be looking at a screen or listening to somebody telling you what to do and react to that. But instead, you get to tap into your own divine feminine. Maybe I wouldn't use those words yet because they're small. Mm-hmm. But as I'm speaking to you, I believe that this is the divine feminine. This is the Shakti energy, the energy of creation yeah. that is born out of the void. Mm-hmm. So would you mind explaining the void to us a little bit and how you interpret it and how you might explain it to our audience in a better way?
Yeah. I mean, the truth of the matter is that it can't be explained, right? There are poets that have tried to explain, so I will do my best.
Okay.
And I think what you spoke to right off the bat is really important because the void is the unknown. Right? It is the unknown. And when we're in spiritual practice, when we move into the deeper realms of practice, it's my belief that we have to learn to partner with the unknown. Mm-hmm. And that requires a bit of surrender.
Yeah.
And surrender can be scary because we have everything from ancestral and intergenerational trauma to trauma that happened in this lifetime. So the idea of surrender is going to be different for each person. And we can titrate our experience little by little to try to get more comfortable with that. And we can work with therapists to help us, right? But this idea of surrender into the unknown is really a path to freedom. Mm. And it is the place, because if we think about this void being like a great womb, it is both full and empty at the same time. Mm-hmm. It is exactly where creativity emerges from. And it is exactly where we dissolve into. Mm-hmm. Right? And so as women, as we get older, and start to move in towards what they would call the crone years, right? That those years require us to be able to partner with the unknown. And we have to then look at this idea of transitions, which is another thing that's really prevalent in the yoga nidra practice, is that, as I spoke about before, moving through those states of consciousness, right? And staying awake and aware, we're also awake and aware during the transitions between those states of consciousness. And when we come back into what we can say is the waking state, we're also then become more aware and attuned to the transitions in our own life, in our own day, in the seasons to our life. And to be able to surrender some of the things that might have been really prevalent and really important to us, and really things that we might have been identified with when we were in our early 20s or 30s. And there comes a time where we have to let go and surrender even those things because something new wants to be born.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But it's because of the unknown of, oh no, what's going to happen when I turn 40? Or what's going to happen when I turn 50? I have to hold on to this thing from the past. And it's the letting go and the surrendering into the unknown and having a practice that allows you to understand that you are always supported, that you are always held by the universe. You are always held by the Great Mother. And you can surrender into that. And that is really what that poem, The Goddess, is about, is that you can surrender into her arms. She's waiting for you. And in that surrendering, that is where the remembering comes. And that's where your power comes. And so, you know, it's interesting because there's this study that was done in 2016 that talks about this idea that we spend most of our time, the brain spends most of our time exploiting what we already know instead of exploring. That exploration is that place into the unknown. That is where creativity and innovation begin. Do you think that Elon Musk was sitting around going, let me think about all the things that have been done before? No, it's like, let me rest and let creativity emerge. And when that creativity emerges, there's going to be people who will say, no, it can't be done because they've never seen it before. But you know, because you remember and you've been there with your inner wisdom in a different way.
Wow. You know, Tracy, I thank you. That was beautiful. It gets me actually choked up because I wanted to share something. And I'm sure Megan can a little bit relate to this. We had a very similar experience. But, you know, the one time I've ever been able to, I believe, surrender outside of psychedelics, to be quite honest, was in a Vipassana silent retreat. And I believe this yoga nidra is something that happens during those silent retreats where I didn't feel like I actually was asleep at any point during the 10 days. I felt like I was aware and I was resting and, but I was creating and I was conscious of what was happening, but I never felt tired. My body never felt depleted. I never felt like I needed to go take a nap. And it was a very powerful experience for me. And that was the closest I think I'd ever been to that. What I feel surrender for myself was in those moments outside of an experience Megan and I had recently with ayahuasca. And at that point I felt that I was able to surrender, but it was a forced surrender, correct? And from what I'm hearing you describe and what I'm really excited about is I believe that you're saying that yoga nidra could be a portal or a way through to that surrender without an external force getting us there. Am I hearing that correctly?
You know, it's interesting that you mentioned this because I've never done any kind of psychedelics or ayahuasca, but I have had people in my trainings who have said, wow, this is a very similar experience to having done psychedelics or ayahuasca. And the way that I was taught in the lineages and the different practices that I study is that there are meditations, yoga nidra being one of them, where you can access different planes of consciousness without any external, as you said, forces. Everything that we, that exists in the universe exists inside of us. So we don't need to look outward. We can go, keep going in and in and in. And, you know, that requires definitely a lot of surrender. So I'm not surprised that in a Vipassana retreat where all or most external distractions were removed, even to the point of speaking, even to the point of looking at another person directly in the eyes, even to the point of being in a very minimalist, you know, room and then also being deep in nature, I'm assuming, somewhere.
Yes.
That's right there creating a pause. It's creating a pause from that exploitation of the mind, going to, oh, I'm gonna make my morning coffee and then I'm gonna look at my emails and then I'm gonna, like the same thing over and over. It suddenly caused something different where the brain had to explore. And I'm sure just doing practice for however many hours a day that you were doing them allowed for a different experience. So the answer to that question, I believe, is yes. And I'm only saying that because of the feedback that I've gotten from people who have done these psychedelics, that they're like, wow, I just realized that I don't have to do these psychedelics. I can do this anytime. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Tracy, I would love to, I wouldn't say this is pivoting because it's on topic, but how do you define astral travel? Because I think we hear this word being thrown around a lot. And I think a lot of us have different interpretations of the meaning. So how would you define that? And could yoga nidra be a conduit for that?
Great question.
That's a great question. So I don't know that I'm qualified to describe astral travel just because I'm not an astral projection teacher. But what I can tell you is that when I was about 13 or so, my parents were very strict. So I wasn't allowed out. I wasn't allowed to friends' houses. Even though I was in the Brownies or the Girl Scouts at that point, I wasn't allowed to do sleepovers. And my mom was studying psychology at the time. And she had a class on paranormal psychology. So she brought home all these books. And one of the books that she had was this book on astral projection. And so I took the book into my room and I started reading it. And I was like, oh, this is like a way for me to get out of the house without like anyone knowing that I'm going to be gone. And so I started doing these astral projection practices, reading the book and self-guiding myself into these practices. It was very short-lived because at some point, one of my friends said, oh, you know, that if you die or you fall, you're going to die in real life. So it was like this thing of like, oh no, something bad will happen to me. But when I started practicing yoga nidra, now, however many years later, 15 years later, the feeling of that floating, flying, traveling, and even in meditation, I would say that I had very similar experiences of feeling like I'm no longer inside of this physical vessel of the body. Mm-hmm. I'm actually outside of this body. And I'm flying over landscapes and I'm feeling like very free. I've also had those kind of experiences in lucid dreaming, right? So I can't really answer your question as to say how they're related and how I would describe astral travel other than feeling like you're out of your body and flying. But I do think that all of these practices, whether they be meditation, whether they be sleep practices, lucid dreaming practices, yoga nidra, can be a portal to any kind of travel because the body is just a vessel.
That's right.
Our energetic body is expansive and can go anywhere.
So, Tracy, I think a lot of these concepts are beautiful and wonderful to think about and ponder. And I also want to speak to our audience right now who may feel like, okay, but where do I start? Like, what is this? All feels really great and I'm loving this conversation, but I want that. But how do I even begin if I feel like at this moment in my life, I'm being wearing all the hats and being pulled in a million different directions, but I really want to deepen my connection to myself? Is there something you could share with our audience right now that instead of making this huge habit of, you know, you need to do yoga nidra for 10 minutes or 30 minutes or an hour every day, is there something we can give them as a bite-sized piece to have them begin?
Yeah. I mean, the first thing you can do is just lay down. You know, I mean, if you're listening to this podcast and you're not driving, just lay down right now. And let yourself lay down and listen to the podcast. Mm-hmm. Invite your kids to lay down with you on the floor for 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. You know, it doesn't take very long. You know, you can sit for a moment and just make a list of all the ways in which you waste time, all the distractions that you have. And then make a decision that you're going to be done with at least one of these distractions so that you can replace 5 minutes of rest. So whether that's, you know, 10 minutes of scrolling on Instagram or Facebook or whatever it is, or gossiping on the phone, or letting someone take your time and extract things from you that isn't helpful or pushing your life forward in some way, you know, let go of doing those things so you can create more spaciousness, because the practices are really about spaciousness. And even though we hear the word spaciousness, we think about maybe luxury and languishing and having, you know, all this time. Spaciousness can be found in 1 minute, in one breath. So it requires a reframe of what it means to practice, because I think that the yoga world has kind of told us that if we're not practicing for 30 minutes or an hour, then our practice isn't worth anything.
That's right.
And that's absolutely untrue. Mm-hmm. Because we are, at least most of us, I believe, are householders, where we have children, we have houses, we have businesses, we have things that have to get done. We're not living on a mountain. We are not living in a cave. We don't have somebody bringing us chai and food 3 times a week so we can meditate for 5 hours a day.
As much as I would love that, that sounds incredible.
Yeah, it's great, you know, but it's not most of our reality.
Right.
And so if we think about the reality of being a householder, that means that we actually have to reframe what it means to practice, and we have to begin to weave our practice throughout our day. Mm-hmm. And if that means, you know, that's, you know, one of the chapters in the book is called Householder's Flow. And it's really about taking these 2 minutes and weaving in alternate nostril breathing and chanting a mantra or your favorite, you know, uplifting song while you're making dinner, you know, chanting a mantra while you're breastfeeding, watching your child breathe and attuning your breath to their breath as a practice. And then placing a mantra in between the pauses. There's so many things that we can do and that have been done for eons,
right,
that are practice. So you make your life a practice and stop thinking about practice as something that you do when you just go to the studio or you roll your mat out.
Mm-hmm. I love this, Tracy, so much, because I know Jen can speak to this too, in that two of the most common objections that I hear from people not following their dreams or their vision is time and money. And yet at the same time, when we're saying, oh, I'm so busy, right? The term busy, yet we're spending a lot of our day scrolling social media, watching the news, and we don't understand how much time is wasted in that doing. We think we're being productive, but we're not. Yet if we can make this a priority and be intentional about this being a part of our daily practice versus scheduling a 90-minute yoga class or a 90-minute meditation or a 2-hour meditation, I think that is the barrier to entry for a lot of people who are curious, but they have a lot of excuses for why they can't take that first step. And so this could be a great baby step to eventually understanding, oh my gosh, I actually have so much more time in my day. And because I realize how this is benefiting my life, I'm willing to make sacrifices to maybe add more time into my day and do this for an hour or 90 minutes or 2 hours. But it really has to start, at least in my perspective, with the littlest baby step and then adding on from there.
Well, here's, I would say two things. One is that we need to let go of this idea that yoga practice and rest practices are a luxury.
Yes.
Right? Because they're not a luxury, they're a birthright. Right? So, you know, when we think about these ideas of practices and what we see in the media and how we view these things kind of illustrated to us, they're not inclusive. They're not diverse. They're not showing the mom that has 4 kids, right? They're not showing people of color, right? Mm-hmm. They're really showing people who are on the beach, you know, by themselves in some, you know, beautiful location. And that's what we're waiting for. we're waiting for that moment to arrive when we have time, right? And the thing is, it's not a luxury, it's a birthright. And if it's a birthright, it's something that you have to reclaim. Mm. And you have to reclaim it with a fierceness.
Yeah.
Because it belongs to you, and it's being taken away in so many ways by culture and by advertising that makes you believe that either you're not worth your dream because you haven't worked hard enough yet. You haven't done enough yet to be able to pursue that dream. You're not the person you need to be yet. There's always some other outside goal that you have to go for before you can achieve your dream. And I'm going to just say that's bullshit.
Yes.
That's not what's really there. So we have to disconnect ourselves from this idea of the grind culture and the toxicity that it breeds. And sometimes what that might mean is just a one tip is to find someone else who wants to explore rest. Because what you may find sometimes is that when you start to explore rest and you start to move away from this toxicity of the doing, the people who are still in the machine of the doing will try to unconsciously, because they don't know yet, they'll unconsciously try to shame you,
right,
that you're not doing enough. Because the world has told us we need to work ourselves to the bone to be able to rest, mm-hmm, to be able to practice.
I love that concept so much. And I want to just interject one thing that for me is important for me in my life. And it's kind of a little different perspective than what Megan shared, Tracy. And it's, I feel like pleasure is our birthright also, right? And for me, sometimes I don't have time in the day, or I haven't made time to do even a 5-minute meditation. But what I do is I make things pleasurable. So in our office, I bring my crystals in. I bring my intuitive spray that we spritz around. When I'm in my kitchen, I'm listening to music and I'm singing, and I wear the apron that I love that my grandmother wore. And I do things that bring me pleasure in the mundane. And for me, that's a way that I'm honoring even my own self-practice in a different way. And that's part of how I connect to, you know, maybe that practice of what is an untraditional yoga practice or a meditation practice.
What you're speaking to is exactly yoga.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get away from this idea that doing triangle pose is the only way to do yoga.
Totally.
Right? It's like, you know, when you're singing in your kitchen, mm-hmm, and when you're wearing the apron from your ancestors and remembering your ancestors as you're making nutritious, delicious food, nurturing food for your family, when you're bringing in your sacred objects like your crystals and your sprays and your incenses, that's a practice.
Mm-hmm.
That is life as a ritual, life as a practice. That is making it. If your life is a ritual, there is no such thing as anything that is mundane.
Mm.
Everything is sacred.
I love that so much.
My favorite quote of the day. I
need to put that on a t-shirt or an oracle card.
Thank you, Tracy. This has been magical. And I'm just so honored that you shared space with us today and brought so much wisdom to our listeners. And we're very grateful. And we do have something we want to ask you that we kind of throw at our guests.
Okay.
So Megan and I have created some things that we feel are really important for our listeners, because we want our podcast to be, we want things to be put into action, to creation. And so we have two things that we do. The first thing that we do is called an ascendment. We don't like assignments, but we wanted to call it an ascendment. How can we ascend this podcast into our week, into our day? Is there a mantra or is there a theme of this episode that you could possibly create with us or co-create with us that our audience could take and use as their mantra this week?
I think that as opposed to a mantra, I would like to pose a self-inquiry question. And that question would be, how can I create more freedom and more spaciousness today?
Mm, beautiful. I love that. So another thing we do, Tracy, We've articulated the ascendment, and then we really want this podcast to be interactive for our audience. So they're not just listening to the wisdom from this podcast, but implementing the things that we've talked about. And I know we already have talked about a few action items that our listeners can do today immediately. So we would love to co-create a soul assignment or an action step for our listeners to take into their day. So what, based on this conversation, what would be the first thing that comes through for you?
Yeah, well, you know, we're in this place where right now we're transitioning into a new season, right? But we'll be listening to this, I think, in January, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so I think the action step that I would ask is a reflection on the year prior. And in this idea of surrendering, right? And looking at the seasons of life is really asking ourselves once again, what is it that needs to be surrendered? What was I carrying last year that I'm ready to surrender? I'm ready to let go. And how can I do that? And who can support me? Because a lot of times we need support. We just need to tell one person, I need support in letting this go. So who's going to be your support?
I love that. Tracy, thank you. Thank you again for your time and your wisdom. We really appreciate you spending this hour with us.
Thank you so much for the invitation. It's been an honor and a pleasure. So glad.
Are you ready to create some freaking wealth witches?
Wealthy witches unite!
You guys, we are so excited to share with you this offer that is like nothing else.
You know, I'm really sick of hearing about all these ways you're supposed to scale your business and hustle hard and do all the things. And Meg, what we've created is a community of sisters that we're asking to just really tap in to their divine feminine. And we're going to show you how to get into your creative cauldron and brew up something super unique and special that will align with your values and take your business to the next level.
Whatever you just said, I want all of that. Sign me up, Jen.
Let's go, Meg. Let's go.
You guys, this is our favorite program, and we're just glowing sharing it with you because the connection, the level of sisterhood, and the permission to be whoever the bleep you want to be in our community is here for it. We're here for it.
We are here for it. And we want you to be here for it too. We want to stand for you. We want to pull you forward. And we want to create a safe, sacred, nurturing space for you to learn, grow, and share so that you can fully ascend into the highest version of yourself.
No more hustle. No more working hard to multiply your revenue. We're going to actually tell you that you probably need to do less.
Yeah, it gets to be easy. And once you can tap into the flow, once you can tap into that creativity and align your business with your values, everything starts to work and abundance rains down.
So if you're ready to fly high with us on the wealth wagon with your woo-woo witches, we're here for it. So what are we talking about? Well, boom, bam, baby. We're talking about the BAM Academy, the Business Academy for Manifestors. And you can find out all the juicy details at soulascendpodcast.com to grab your spot. Did you love this episode? We love connecting with our audience, and we want to hear from you. Don't forget to subscribe, review, and share. You can also follow us on Instagram at Soul Ascend Podcast.
And don't forget, when you write a 5-star review, screenshot it and send it to us at info@soulascendpodcast.com. And we will send you our top 10 manifestation hacks